radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
One one, Correa into center field. This will pad the Minnesota lead. Taylor is in. Solano will come home, and Carlos Correa hurting his old club. Two more come home. It's 5-0 Minnesota.
That game was terrible, and it wrapped up a pretty brutal Sunday in Houston sports, where you didn't just see the Twins draw even with the Houston Astros in the ALDS with a 6-2 dominant win. It wasn't even that close. You also saw the Houston Texans go same old Texans in a 21-19 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. What's going on, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show on a Monday, October 9th of 2023. And if you want to vent, why are you angry today, random Houston and or Texas area sports fan? You can vent. We are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston for a reason. Annoyed with the Astros? Call in. Text in. Annoyed with the Texans? Twitch in. Tweet in. Annoyed with Texas losing to Oklahoma? Annoyed with Texas A&M losing to a half-assed effort by Alabama? You can! We're here for you. But before we dive into what you guys have to say, I know this isn't ideal for the Astros. You want this thing to be easy, like last year's ALDS. You were hoping for a sweep like you got against the Seattle Mariners. A series that was a lot closer than that sweep would indicate. This loss on Sunday night was not the end of the world. Okay? Take a deep breath. Relax. Remember that the Astros are better on the road. Remember that the Twins can't put Pablo Lopez on the mound every single game this series. And also just figure out a way to stop Carlos Correa from single-handedly beating your ass this series. Really was two guys for the Twins last night that stuffed you in a locker. Pablo Lopez with 7 scoreless innings. Not one Astros base runner reached third base while Lopez was on the hill. And you had a hell of a performance by Carlos Correa. You heard one of his RBI hits. He had 2 doubles, goes 3-for-4, 3 runs batted in. And he even made a couple of nice web gems in the 9th to get the last 2 outs of the game. And now I'm going to direct my attention to the average Houston sports fan out there. I get it, you're feeling down. You should be feeling down about yourself. You should. I was at Minute Maid Park Saturday. I was at Minute Maid Park on Sunday. It was a mausoleum in there. Paul, what's a mausoleum? You know, where dead people are dead and people are supposed to be quiet and respectful. Were you guys being quiet and respectful during yesterday's game? During Saturday's game? Like, far be it from me to call out fans for how they fan. But, I mean, it was like you guys weren't even there. And then on top of that, after the Texans lose a game on Sunday, I have people say, oh, the sky is falling. The season's over. Like, there are moments where I look at this sports town and the average fan, and I feel like you need to be sent to a re-education camp or something. I thought that, in particular, yesterday's performance by the Astros crowd at Minute Maid Park was a joke. You could see why Rocco Baldelli, before the game, manager of the Twins, was saying, well, yeah, I mean, it's a louder crowd in Minnesota.
Did you hear the Fox Sports broadcast, by the way, going into game one of this series? I didn't hear it because I was at the stadium and I was looking for some highlights this morning for today's show. This was the first clip of a series of highlights on YouTube for the Astros and Twins in game one. These announcers got it wrong.
The familiar ruckus crowd at Minute Maid Park in Houston, where the reigning World Series champions get set to defend their title. The champions of the American League West, Houston Astros, square off with the AL Central champion, Minnesota Twins.
The familiar raucous crowd. Maybe back in 2017 or 2015. Because y'all have gone wine and cheese since then. And I get it. Fans get priced out. But I'm just going to remember a couple of moments from the game on Saturday and Sunday that I felt just made everything look bad. During key moments, Saturday, Hector Neris comes into the game. He has two strikeouts back-to-back. You would think fans would remain standing after he got those two outs. You're supposed to pick him up there. Dead quiet. And I'm not acting like this is the reason that Hector Neris allowed a three-run home run. But he was dead quiet. He allows that home run. And I'm like, am I watching a Saturday game in June? And then yesterday, the only time that Astros fans got loud was to boo Carlos Correa, which, even if he's kicking your ass, I still think it's a bad look. That's the loudest the people got. And there's one moment where Framber Valdez is on the hill. And he's got an 0-2 count on Carlos Correa. I believe this was in the fifth inning. Fans get up. It's the loudest it's been at Minute Maid Park. They're down just 3-0. Framber needs to get the Astros out of this jam. Fans stand up with an 0-2 count. It was loud. But then he throws a ball. Fans are a little less loud. He throws another ball. Fans are all of a sudden starting to get really quiet. Throws another ball, ultimately walks him, and it was like a church. Like a Catholic church. And all of a sudden, I started yawning. I started falling asleep. I had to go back to the press box area to find some coffee to get myself jeeped up. You guys were putting me to sleep. Not the end of the world. What happened to the Astros this weekend? I'm just kind of embarrassed by the performance, by the fans. God forbid I tell you how to fan, but as the high tradesman of the Church of Jeff Luno, the man leading you on this great journey for the first baseball repeat title since the Yankees did at the turn of the century, can we, for the love of God, like, wake up? Holy crap! You're better than this. I thought. Maybe you're not. I was listening to the bench on the way in, and they were talking about Jeremy Pena, his double, and he does that little hip thrust and the, you know, hard hands motion right after he does it. And people are mad about it. Oh, you're down 5-0. Why are you doing that? Honestly, if Jeremy Pena shaking his ram-a-lama ding-dong could get the ladies that were at Minute Maid Park going, that would have been more than, for the most part, the crowd was able to give you by a long shot. You guys got to step your game up. And okay, maybe the Astros are just going to have to win this thing on the road. And I said it going into this segment. You got to take care of this in Minnesota. You do not want this to go to a game five. You do not want to get to a point where Pablo Lopez can face you again, because you're probably going to go down. He kicked your ass last night. He did. But you guys were ass last night. And I feel very comfortable saying that. Oh, Paul, but they priced us out. Stop. I mean, it was dead quiet in there. I'm kind of embarrassed. Like, is anyone even listening today? And I get it. It's a holiday. Columbus Day. And I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of anti-Italian discrimination going on at your workplace. Maybe all of a sudden you had to go in today because they can't honor the great Christopher Columbus. I say that in quotation marks because you didn't really learn until a couple of years later that maybe Christopher Columbus wasn't the best of guys, but it just has felt absolutely dead
as far as care, as far as enthusiasm for this team. And that's really my biggest takeaway from the weekend. Whatever. They split it 1-1. Not the end of the world. Framber Valdez stunk. The entire Astros lineup outside of Yordan Alvarez stunk. But it could have been a lot worse. From a game-to-game perspective, I'm totally relaxed when it comes to the Astros in this series. They were probably going to lose one against Minnesota. Minnesota's playing really good right now. But you guys, specifically the people in attendance at Minute Maid Park, do you even care? Like, it felt like you didn't. It felt like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's kind of getting old winning all the time. Like, what are you, one of those hipster fans? Like, I want to lose. You know, I need something different, okay? I want to feel something inside, and I hope we lose in this series. Like, that's kind of the vibe I got at the Minute Maid Mausoleum last night.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's like a play or like a movie or something where the crowd only reacts when something actually happens. But for the most part, it's like, guys, be quiet, okay? We don't want to disrupt what's going on here. It's like, no, actually, we do want you to disrupt what's going on here. We want the players on the field to feel you, to feel your presence. And it's like, no, when they do something, we'll get loud and then we'll go back to being quiet. It's like, no, that's not how this happens. Like, this isn't an intermission break.
Sean, seriously, that moment where Framber was on the hill and he had the 0-2 count,
yeah,
where it went from, like, just super loud to three pitches to be like, oh, okay, well, it's in between innings. It's time to go get me another El Tiempo $700 margarita. It was crazy. The worst part of all, the Minute Maid, I guess, PA guy or whoever's in charge of what goes on the graphic.
The in-stadium guy.
Yeah, the in-stadium guy. At some point, they play a make some noise. And it was so quiet that they just stopped like 10 seconds into it. They were like, oh, I guess they're not coming. All right, well, let's stop. This is getting embarrassing.
They have the fake decibel meter one. Like, and it just normally it stays like near 100. Like when you're at Texans games or whatever, it's always like it's in the 90s. It's in the 100s. Now it's 108 or whatever. And it's like completely made up imaging. But for some reason, for the Astros one, it actually is like real. And it's like, you know, it's about a 20, you know, it's about as loud as a baby coughing, you know, not exactly a jet, not exactly a jet taking off. It's more, you know.
Honestly, listen, I mean, we're not above cheating on this show. Time to pump in some crowd noise. Let's go full Indianapolis Colts. Let's pump in some crowd noise because y'all can't do it. If the series gets back for a game 5 with Pablo Lopez on the hill, it's time. It's time to pump in some crowd noise. But hey, guys, it could have been worse. Again, you guys sucked, but it could have been worse.
It still is a 1-1 series. Everyone, it is exactly. Still a 1-1 series and a team that in the regular season is better on the road than they were at home.
Thank you, Sean.
That still, in a 5-game series, you don't want to be splitting home games.
Now that I've taken you guys to task, let's make fun of everybody else who sucked over the weekend because the Astros, at the very least, one team that had home field advantage took care of business to this point in baseball's playoffs. Let's laugh at Clayton Kershaw and the mark-ass Baltimore Orioles next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
John Stockton says, hey, look at me. I'm a little teapot. I'll run right up your dress. But then Karl Malone says, Sweet Sassy Molassy, you are going to pay a lot.
The Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Castro aboard for Kyle Farmer, third baseman.
Swings and launches one out to left field. Alvarez turns. It's gone. Kyle Farmer has made it a 3-0 Minnesota lead. Their third home run of the series.
It was done right there. The crowd really got dead. Framber Valdez sucked. What can you say? Not his night. And there's been a lot of games like that from Framber Valdez. I know for some of the second guessers of Dusty Baker, probably was the right move to go with Justin Verlander in game one, as opposed to Framber Valdez in game one. Just a thought. We'll see what happens with Verlander's next start. And I shudder to think about what might happen in the next Framber start, but you just don't feel great about any of the Astros starting pitching. That's been a year-long theme. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We have a couple of comments. And Fuentes Respector says, so that's the takeaway? Duh, Astros fans, duh. Referring to me calling Astros fans out. Here's what happened. Correa beat you up. Pablo Lopez beat you up. Framber sucked. Your bat sucked. Do we need to go into any more detail than that? Do you even want us to go into any more detail than that? I'm not even really that disappointed. They were going to have a game like this in this series. They're not that dominant of a team. I'm not going to go back and second guess all the decisions.
Well, what if Dusty Baker put Yadier Diaz in for Martin Maldonado in the fifth inning?
Was he going to hit four home runs? Oh, Sean Mapes is nodding his head.
I mean,
yes.
I saw some compelling fans on Twitter tweet some things about how good Yadier Diaz
is. I'm sorry. They need to all shut up. Like they
Yadier Diaz has become like catcher Barry Bonds now, where it's just like, hey, guys, he is a better hitter than Martin Maldonado. He's not like that much better, though.
Check that. He's a lot better than Maldonado.
No, okay, he's a lot better. But he's not that much better where he's swinging six-run games.
No hitter is like that. That's the reality. Now, it was kind of funny that the second loudest cheer of the game for the Astros, first was every single time Correa came up, boos. The second loudest moment was when Martin Maldonado put in Yiner Diaz, and Diaz was announced at the plate. So some of the real ones, some of the real Astros fans out there who are always annoyed that Maldonado plays, they made their voices heard here. Another text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Paul, you're not even an Astros fan, bro. Actually, as a bandwagoner, you could argue I'm more of a fan than you because I, as somebody from a diehard sports town in Boston, left a team that I grew up rooting for the Astros. And yeah, I had a little affair with the Mariners, but it's fine. I'm back, okay? Listen, little Paulie wants what it wants. It continues the texter. You bitch so much about this team and its city. Please leave. Sincerely, all of Houston. Well, the ratings are pretty damn good. I don't know if it's all of Houston, number one. Number two, I'm not even bitching about the team. I'm bitching about you people. Is that a problem, perhaps?
That's why they're mad. That's why this person's mad.
Honestly, Sean, most people agree with me. I saw
Dez. Yeah, no, it's so it is the correct take, that the Minute Maid crowd last night sucked.
I'm more mad about that than I am about the Astros splitting the series.
The Minute Maid crowd was worse than Framber Valdez, and Framber Valdez wasn't that good last night.
He stunk. He was terrible. Alex Bregman, not very good. The rest of the lineup, other than Yordan Alvarez last night.
God, he's so good.
Not very good. It's like Jeremy Peña and Yordan Alvarez are the two guys that have done things for you, and Altuve as well.
Yes.
That's it, though. That's all you've gotten from the lineup. And I'm not focusing on that or Framber Valdez. You guys somehow outsucked it all. That's a lot of people do actually agree here on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Reapers Incarnate. These fans want a World Series team, but don't cheers like World Series fans. Damn, that's deep.
Well, most of those fans do have rings because they give them out every six games.
So, how many rings can you collect?
I went to a Sugarland Space Cowboys game and came away with this World Series ring.
I don't have a ring. That's BS. Red from the 713. Paul, you're on point. The fans need to be called out. Lone Ranger 614. People who go now are just there to be seen. Yeah, the amount of people I saw right in front of me in the club level, because the seats that the media gets put in is on the first base line, and we're right behind the club level seats. The amount of people that were taking selfie videos of them while the Astros were like getting stomped was rather sad. I saw some celebrities there too. They weren't even watching the game.
Oh yeah. Who? Please name drop.
The girl from Love is Blind whose dog got my pants dirty.
Okay.
Celebrities, baby.
that was the celebrities.
That's an indictment on her as a dog mom, I gotta say. Like, your dog's cute, but like pooches, get down.
But nice seats.
More texts. It's like the fan base is tired of going to the playoffs. How many more of these do we have? Was all over their faces. Another text. I'd be louder than my wife in labor if my broke ass could afford it. Shout out to you. Before the game, they need to put on the big board replays of people hating on the Astros crowd. That honestly might work. That or Jeremy Pena pelvic thrusts will at least get going, you know? At least the ladies will stand up for the
It'll be Beatlemania. Yeah.
I want babies now! Like that. That could work.
What if they just play... Or what if Minnesota fans were just like, we want Houston fans. We think we can take Houston fans. Will people be less mad about that?
No, I think they'd be mad about that.
I will say, the we want Houston stuff...
We'll do that later.
The reaction to it is jump the shark.
No, like, you know what? No, so I disagree. Stupid. I disagree. Sean, we need to get these people motivated by any means necessary.
Didn't work. Didn't work.
well,
it's too stupid.
Okay, let's focus on other things. Someone texted in, it's little wiener energy to laugh at other people's failures. Well, you're talking to a man with the Irish curse, so if I have LDE, I'm totally cool with that. Let's make fun of the teams that did not take care of business. Thank God Tab hasn't called in. Please don't. Let's save it for tomorrow. The Rangers have a 2-0 series lead on the Baltimore Orioles. I saw Jim Bowden, who I believe is a Baltimore Orioles analyst, start whining about this. Check that. He's an MLB analyst and insider. But I feel like he's got some Orioles ties. I still don't like the idea of the teams with the best records, the Braves, Orioles, Dodgers, having to sit 5 days before playing their first playoff game. And with 7 of the 8 wildcard series being sweeps the last 2 years, perhaps that should be just one elimination game instead. Like it used to be. Well, first off, baseball wants more money. But second off, stop complaining. I saw Orioles people doing this. I saw Braves fans people doing this. And then, even better, did you see how bad Clayton Kershaw was for the Dodgers against the Arizona Diamondbacks? What was it? 6 runs in the first inning? Here's after the game, Clayton Kershaw being asked about crapping himself.
Disappointing, embarrassing. You know, I think I just feel like you let everybody down. You know, guys, whole organization that looked to you to, you know, pitch well in game one. And, yeah, it's just embarrassing, really. So I just feel like I let everybody down. And, it's a tough way to start the postseason. You know, obviously we still have a chance at this thing, but that wasn't the way it was going to, should have started for me.
I love watching Kershaw fail. Is it bad? Is it bad that I'm like that? There is something about me that really enjoys seeing the teams or players that consistently lose continue to consistently lose. And perhaps, again, this is little Schmenzer energy, as that texter pointed out. And it might be. To me, this is like one of those terrible network laugh track comedies that are extremely predictable. This is my version of that. I like to see Kershaw blow it in the postseason. I like to see the Jets and other teams like that, the Bears, just regularly stink. It's funny to me. Like, that to me is the same kind of serialized, just absolutely bottom of the barrel humor that gets me through life. Like, I don't know, the Big Bang Theory on CBS or Friends.
A lot of Big Bangs from the Arizona Bats. Am I right?
That's so true, Sean.
A lot of Big Bangs.
Got them.
They scored a lot of runs.
They did.
Bats were loud. I do think there is something just fun. Like, as a sports fan, even like taking Kershaw away from the Dodgers and the Dodgers Astros World Series and fallout, it is just fun to watch when you're not a fan of either team, when you're just a neutral fan, to be like, I don't know. It's kind of fun that there's the Tony Romo or the James Harden and Chris Paul or like, and now it's Clayton, or not now, but in baseball, it's Clayton Kershaw. It's like, there is just fun. Like, you can just set your watch to like, hey, the Chargers are going to charger this thing. Hey, Peyton Manning is going to lose in the divisional round. Like, there's just a fun, like, I don't know. It's like a, you can almost set your watch to it.
It's
Notre Dame getting blown out in a big game. Like, that's what it is.
It's,
no one say anything about Texas.
It's human comedy. It's, these people are great, except they don't make it happen this time of year. And it's funny because it makes no sense. And you know it's happening every single year.
Yeah. I mean, it's people like in America's Funniest Home Videos getting hit in the privates. Like, it's just kind of fun to see people like, oh, man, you thought it was going to be different this time. I see what you're trying to do there, but nope, you still got hit in the privates. Or in this case, you got hit by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Big bang theory. Big bang.
One of the texters trying to bang me right now. Paul, your mocking voice of the dumb Astro fan is arguably the most insufferable shtick on the radio this morning. You're making 6'10 look legit.
Well, that's my mocking voice for everybody.
Yeah, he hasn't done Southern Lawyer either. So.
Well, want me to do Southern Lawyer?
No, we're behind on the break.
You fans,
4 minutes late.
You
by the
were
time
you too gentlemanly at this ballpark yesterday, and we need more gyrated thrust and pelvis from Jeremy Pena so that we can get the ladies involved in the game because you fans aren't stepping up.
Like, that's my mocking voice for everybody. And honestly, like, you texting that in or Mega Blast saying it, like, makes me want to put ice picks in my ears. It's just going to make me do it more. Like, don't tell me that. Don't. My love language is annoying you, just like with Jeremy Payne and his hard hands. His hard hands. Be hard-handing you on TV. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You could see that in video form on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. You want to weigh in on what happened to the Astros over the weekend? You can't. They split the series. Things look good on Saturday. Justin Verlander, huzzah! Yordan Alvarez, huzzah! Jose Altuve, huzzah! Hector Neris, I don't know about that. Yesterday, not so good. Pablo Lopez killed you. Carlos Correa killed you. Bam! Like, that's the whole weekend in a nutshell. So if you want to weigh in on that, you can all show long. Up next, I get why some people are saying same old Texans after yesterday's loss to the Atlanta Falcons, though I don't agree with them. We'll talk about it. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter patter.
It's a hard life picking stones and pulling teats, but sure as God's got sandals, it beats fighting dudes with treasure trails.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros won 6-4 on Saturday. They lost 6-2 on Sunday. Series tied at one game apiece as they head to Minnesota for Game 3 tomorrow afternoon against the Twins. Christian Javier will be on the hill for the Astros. We'll see which Christian Javier we get. You know, for all those people out there that were hoping for some accountability from the Astros after last night's game, you probably were thinking, look at the fire, Dusty! Well, there was some accountability because guess what? The Astros fired assistant general manager Bill Ferkus and farm director Sarah Goodrum. Accountability. I don't know if that was related. It's kind of weird that we find out this news this morning when this series is still going on. Whatever.
Is it? No. I was going to say, is it like the first of the month or something? But no, it's not that.
It's the 9th
of Monday.
Yeah, it's Columbus Day, too.
Yeah, you can't fire someone on Columbus
Day. Especially if they're part Italian. That's anti-Italian discrimination.
We'll go through Ferkus's 23andMe and see. See if it's discriminatory.
Ferkus does sound very Italian.
Yeah.
Some texts. Pablo Lopez was dealing last night. The 27 Yankees would have been shut out. I love how we bring up the 27 Yankees.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know,
I feel like,
the 27 Yankees would have been more shut down because, remember,
he would have thrown a curveball. They would have been like, what the hell is that?
A curveball? A slider? A sinker? Wait, this pitch was over 80 miles per hour?
wait, they allow people of different races to play the game now?
Yeah, who's that in center field? Get him, security.
Pablo Lopez, get him off the mound. Carlos Correa, get him off the shortstop. Although, also, you wouldn't be allowed to have Yordan Alvarez because he's a... Oh, wait, hang on. I think we were cool with Cuba back then. They weren't commies. Maybe they could have made something work. Another text. I'm just going to sing this, but this was a text. Jeremy Pena molested the air over second base on Sunday. What? He's played well thus far. Maybe you got to move him up in the order.
Act like you've been there before.
No, he was trying to get the crowd going.
I know. No, I
actually have no problem with that, like a lot of other people do. Like, sorry, it was dead in there, and he did a sexy dance, and you guys just couldn't handle it because some of us are uncomfortable with the male body.
Yeah, no, I actually don't have a problem with it, but I just like saying act like you've been there before, especially after you lose, because then you're like, see, if you would have respected the game, they would have won. They would have scored 7 more runs.
Someone on Twitch also comments, did you see the fight between 2 Astros fans the first game? I'm pretty sure I know the guy who was getting his face just punched. He didn't punch back, to his credit. I have no idea what happened there, though. Anyway, okay. The Houston Texans played the Atlanta Falcons yesterday, and even though C.J. Stroud had a late touchdown pass to Dalton Schultz to give the Texans a brief lead, the game ended like this.
Wait, there's a flag down.
It's running into the kicker. This game is over.
The game ended on the broadcast the way that the entire game went. It was a rough watch if you watched that game. I think there were 11 punts and 6 field goals combined as the Falcons ultimately beat the Texans. And at the very end, on a walk-off field goal, the broadcast cut out for a second. No one knew what was happening. Like, that was sort of the entirety of the game if you watched the Texans and Falcons on Sunday. And if you listen to me on Friday, I said the only thing that the Houston Texans can do on Sunday is disappoint us, is go same old Texans. Following up a couple of decisive wins against teams you're not supposed to beat who look good on Sunday, the Jaguars beat the Bills in the early morning, the Steelers beat the Ravens. You follow that up with an underwhelming loss to a team with 0 Q reading, even if they might be decent. I mean, the Falcons are 3-2 right now. And you lost that game despite winning the turnover battle in a largely boring football game. So I can understand why a lot of people are going to say same old Texans after the fact. I think that the big thing for the Texans, they could not run the football, and that has been a 5-week problem. And the Falcons, I thought, put together a pretty good defensive game plan where I think they only rushed C.J. Stroud with more than 4 rushers 20% of the time. So they dropped a lot of guys back in coverage. And to Stroud's credit, no mistakes, though there were a couple of close calls. No sacks once again. But it was a tough day for him, especially once Tank Dell and Robert Woods went down. And we're going to have to see what the next adjustment is by Bobby Slowick, who, of course, in week 1 didn't look so great against the Baltimore Ravens. This was not a good game for Slowick. And on the defensive side of things, I mean, you allowed Desmond Ridder to have his best career game. So for the people who will say same old Texans to this game, I actually disagree with that. I think that this was a game where that you know that this is still a rebuild, and there are some limitations with what the Texans can do. They don't have much of a pass rush, only 3 quarterback hits on Ridder all game long. They're not great in coverage over the middle of the field, especially when they're missing a couple of cornerbacks. I think that Falcons tight end had something like 14, 15 catches for 176 yards and a touchdown. They're going to have to go back to the drawing board for a lot of things. But at the very least, you do have C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud was asked about the confidence his teammates have in him after the game.
I think I put like a certain dog in me that I don't flinch. And that really has testament to do with the guys around me. And then just the work that not only myself, but we put in. And I put a lot of extra work in every week just to give our offense a chance and our team a chance to win football games. So,
whoa. Hang on. I zoned out towards the end of that. Wait, what? What was it that CJ Stroud said at the very beginning of that clip?
I think I put like a certain dog in me.
God put a certain dog in him. Okay. I don't.
German
I don't.
Shepherd.
Well, if you lose, are you a German Shepherd?
I don't know. German Shepherds have lost before. They're not undefeated.
That is true. They've lost a lot.
Yeah. Two big ones.
20th century.
On
not
the biggest
good.
Stage.
Not yeah. good for German Shepherds out there. Yeah, I don't think it's a German Shepherd right now. Hmm. He has been really impressive. I feel like it's more a Australian Shepherd, you know?
Hardworking,
very energetic. And these CJ Stroud press conferences, you get moments like this. Remember when I asked CJ Stroud about his winning mentality? Okay, now I'm starting to see what Sean saw. This is a bit of an annoying quote. Can we stop with the, I got that dog in me? God put that dog in me. Can we stop? Wait, why did this become a thing? He's got that dog in him. Why?
I think I put like a certain dog in me.
Oh, no. This is like when Vanessa was on the show. Vanessa was trying to make that a thing.
Yeah, it was one day you were out and we drafted players that have the most dog in them. And we're like, we don't even know really what we mean.
Gopher Monkey 1981 says pug, disgusting. Pugs are a disgusting breed of dog. I'm sorry if I sound dogsist, but you those do. Dogs, bulldogs, and chihuahuas, sorry.
You sound like a real cat owner right now.
What, because I hate three terrible dogs?
I don't know.
They're ugly dogs. Sorry, I'm allowed to say. I love dogs, but some dogs are ugly. I'll be nice to your ugly pug,
you know,
your ugly French bulldog, or your ugly chihuahua. Or your ugly bulldog. I'll be nice to it, but I don't want it to touch me.
CJ is more of like a retriever of some sort.
A retriever?
Or like a Labrador.
There is some blissful naivete because, yeah, he doesn't know like how cursed it is to be a Houston Texan.
Yeah, his tail is definitely wagging a lot of times. I don't know what that means, but like he seems like a pretty upbeat guy.
He does. And he should be. He set the record. He broke Dak Prescott's record for most throws to open a career without an interception.
They didn't stop the game and hand him a game ball for that.
Like it was Drew Brees. Also, I'm surprised that Dak Prescott was the guy who had the record for that because, good God, the few highlights I saw of him last night against San Francisco, that guy stinks now. No. What's up? What's up with that?
It really was. Like last year, he just started throwing interceptions and he just has not stopped. I don't know.
Yeah, he can't. He said he was going to, though, during the offseason.
Yeah.
Jerry said, too.
Promises made, promises not kept.
Nope. Not at all. I can't read that comment about dog parts that someone from the 832 texted in. From another 832. CJ got that dog. And, here we go. Here we have to go.
I think I put like a certain dog in me.
God did not put a dog in you. If God put a dog in you, the dog would suffocate and die. Or it would have to, like, tear a hole through your stomach to get out. We got to stop making this a thing. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm old Greg.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
So much success with Houston. Sends one deep to left field. Going back on it is Alvarez all the way to the track. That ball is off the wall. And Minnesota will strike first. And guess who? It's Carlos Correa to put the Twins on top in Houston. Their first lead of the series.
I thought that was gone. Correa smashed that one. in the first inning off of Framber Valdez, who did not look very good. What else is new? But Correa has been great this postseason and specifically this series. 3-for-4, 2 doubles, 3 runs batted in, a couple of beautiful web gems to get the second and final out of the 9th inning. He looked good. I stuck around at Minute Maid Park after the game was done for Carlos Correa's press conference. The press conferences are always tricky because you have to raise your hand to have someone pass you a microphone, and sometimes the person that is handing the microphone out to ask questions doesn't see you. I wanted to ask this question, and luckily Jose Jesus de Ortiz asked this at the very end. He asked, "Hey, Carlos, what did you make of the fans booing you out there?"
Well, they're rooting for their team, right? And I'm not on their team anymore. After everything I did for the organization, that's in the past. And now, you know, like I've moved forward, they move forward as well. And I understand it. They want their team to win. And, you know, they want me to strike out every time. It's totally normal.
I get the boos after he stuffed Framber into a locker. But hearing him say that and just looking at his face as he said that at the press conference yesterday, I'm not going to lie, I felt bad for Carlos there. He said the classy thing there, but I actually think it does bother him a little bit. You hear at the very beginning of the clip there where he's talking about all the things that he did for the organization. Even Josh Reddick, who I guess was introduced as the Wu captain today, he tweeted about it. Like, why are people booing Correa? I suppose, hey, if the crowd's going to show any life whatsoever, they may as well show some life. But the only thing that people could get up for yesterday was Carlos Correa at the plate and booing Carlos Correa at the plate. It's kind of sad that that's the only thing you got up for. That's pretty much it.
And it's kind of like what you should, because before the series, we talked about, should he get a standing ovation before his first at-bat?
He should have. Now you can boo. It's fine to boo, but that's all you had for him. And it just feels wrong to me. It does. I get it. He left. He signed for more money. No one defended the Astros' honor and stood up for this team more than that guy did. And no one delivered in more postseason moments than that guy did. Like, that guy was about as good as it gets for you in the playoffs during his time here.
But like I said, like when we were having the discussion about the standing ovation, like I wasn't for the standing ovation. I also said, but you shouldn't boo him. Like, you just don't cheer for the opposition in a playoff game. It's the freaking playoffs. The MLB playoffs. He can send you home. And guess what? Yeah. Yesterday, he won the game for the other team. So there is an aspect of it of like, hey, you can still love Carlos Correa, guys. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be you love him as he's beating your team or you hate him just because he left, even though it was kind of mutual. Like, it was the Astros did not put forth a competitive offer whatsoever to sign him. So I get it. And they also have a better, or just as good of a shortstop now, who's cheaper. Like, they came out looking pretty good. Who won the ALCS MVP and World Series MVP his rookie year? Like, there's no hurt feelings here for the Astros. There's no reason to actually boo.
He throws a mean pelvic thrust, too.
Yeah, they did. Did they step on the celebration game? We'll discuss that next. I think the booing is a little. I think it's a little too much, especially a guy who has the, you know, the Astros DNA of if you boo him, he's good. he shoves it down your throat when you boo him.
Yeah,
don't do that to any of the 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
Don't do it to any of those. If a Houston Astro played on those teams, do not boo them.
Honestly, Sean, like if there was a moment to be quiet, of which there were many moments last night in the Minute Maid Park crowd.
3 hours of
just dead silence when Correa comes up. Dead silence. Going to go get a $700 El Tiempo margarita. Someone just texted me in. The prices went up. I did not go get an El Tiempo margarita. Someone tried to convince me to go and get one when things weren't going so well for the Astros, but I stood firm in the pocket.
Sober October.
Sober
still,
October
still on.
Is still intact. There yeah. I even went to a bar on Friday night, and I did not have a drink. I just had seltzer water.
Wow.
I know. I felt like a dork.
Wow. You. Good job,
The person
Paul.
I was out there with was calling me a P-word, too, and I was like, well... Thanks. You're really supportive friend.
I know. Keywords are strong.
I know. What a non-supportive friend.
Yeah.
I'm trying to better myself here.
Everyone at the station is trying to, we're trying to help you out. We're trying to support you. Give you the love that you need in this time.
Another text. The booing is fine. When did y'all get so soft? Loser mentality. Well, it's more that the only thing that you guys got up for was to boo Carlos Correa.
That's the issue, is that
it's
the lack of engagement at any other time other than where, I don't know, that doesn't have to be the only time you get loud, is to boo Carlos Correa. Boo, again, like the most, not only one of the best Astros of their golden run, but like the one who was the most, like when the world was against the Astros, he was the one that stood up for him.
That's what I don't get.
He was always after whatever 2019 when all this stuff came out, like Carlos Correa was my favorite Astro because he would be
same.
Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah, he grabbed the microphone. Let me tell you about the fact. Yeah. Like with Ken Rosenthal.
Ken Rosenthal. This is America.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There have been a couple of scandals surrounding this series. One of them has to do with things that Minnesota Twins fans may have said about the Astros. Another might have had to do with something that Houston Astros fans said to a very key Minnesota Twins player. And another scandal that nobody's talking about might have to do with big baseball rigging this series. What's your favorite Astros Twins playoff scandal? We'll discuss them all next. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
I knew which vegetables went together, proteins, temperature, sauces. And when somebody new came into the restaurant to stage, I'd look at them like they were a competition, like I'm going to smoke this motherfucker.